Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. I don't know. I don't know, Brother Bradley, how many times I've preached this message since yesterday morning, but I'm going to try to give you the best one of them. I don't know. You know how that can be. Stuff rolling around in your head and everything like that. But it is so good to be here on this Resurrection Sunday. I'm telling the fellas in the prayer room a little while ago that, you know, last Sunday is just as important as this Sunday. And if we have a next Sunday, that Sunday is just as important as this Sunday also. It's another time that we've been able to gather together and just praise the Lord. I just want you to be obedient this morning. I think I say that probably a lot. And you say, well, what does that mean? I don't know what that means to you. I mean, God only knows what He's telling you to do. I'm just telling you to do what He says for you to do. That's all. I mean, whatever that is, because we try to set a stage or something like that or try to create a form or a fashion, that's just not going to work. You know when you're praising the Lord the way He wants you to. I'll say this, you know, I prepare, and I was joking around with Brandy. I was like, it's going to be on this morning. I was just picking on her, kind of getting riled up. You know how that can be. But I know what I felt in my heart. I'll tell you that. I can tell you what I felt in my heart. And I was like, Lord, please let us worship You the way that we're supposed to. Let me worship You the way that I'm supposed to. You ever think about that? But you know, that's not for Him to answer that prayer. That's what we bring to Him. He went to the cross. He died for our sin. He did His part. It is finished, His part. But with us, we bring our praise to Him. But how thankful are you this morning? Let me just ask you that. Just let that show. Just let Him have His way. But how thankful are you this morning? I want to say this. It is so good to see my family, all the visitors that are here. It's good to see this number, this crowd, and wonderful to see Brother Bradley here and his family. I was excited about that. I was watching part of his message this morning while I was getting ready, and I was like, man, I hope he comes here after that, if they hear that early. And sure enough, I was looking for him, and sure enough, there he came through the doors. But that's a blessing to me. If you will, let's turn to Psalm 118. I'll try not to be too lengthy this morning, but I do want to get the message out. It's something I've never preached on, didn't really realize or understand this until this weekend. You know, I love it when the Lord shows me something new. He teaches me something, and then I get excited about sharing that with everyone else. This might seem to be a little bit different than what you'd call a Resurrection Sunday morning message, but it's right in there. If you pay attention real close to it, I think it's going to be a huge blessing to you. Psalm 118. I'm going to try to go through the whole chapter there. You know, psalms are songs. Been a lot of songs singing, sung this morning. And, you know, it's kind of the way that it's set up. Songs are kind of set off the service, do they not? Usually we sing before the service, right? Jesus did the same thing, if you know that or not. Do you know that? Jesus did the same thing. Think about Matthew 26:30. It says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Thought that was kind of interesting. When it says they, I always thought, Brother Bradley, when they said they, that I just thought the disciples. That's where my mind went. I might not be telling you something new to you, but it's something new to me, and I'm excited about it. You know, this was the Passover, the Lord's Supper, what we call the Last Supper, but this was a song that they had sang here. If you look at Psalm 118, it's kind of interesting. These are, again, are songs. And if you look at Psalms 113 through 118, they are called the Hallel Praise Psalms is what they're called. They actually sung those. And I was like, I thought the same thing, Brother Raymond, when you were talking about Psalm 23 being sang. Like, how would that sound? When I looked at this, I was like, Lord, I can't sing this. I sing in the car by myself, and that's fun. I like that. I can drown myself out. Nobody can listen, but I sound good to me. But I'm like, I can't sing this. There's no notes to it. How would you sing it? And I believe it or not, I did look online, and I did find there was this woman singing this song in Hebrew. My goodness, it was beautiful. I was like, Lord, please don't ask me to do that. I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. But it was a beautiful song to hear. And you see what the meaning of this is. If you think about the feast of Pentecost, the Passover, the tabernacles, what they would do during those feasts is they pass the cups around seven times, or the cup. And in between each time, they would sing a song. They'd sing a hymn. And they'd pass it around and they would sing. Didn't realize that Psalm 113 through 118 are the psalms that they would sing. That was part of what they would do. You know, I've been asked several times when Jesus was praying in the garden, what do you think he was praying about? What do you think was on his mind? The short answer, you. The accurate answer, Psalm 118. I'll tell you, I hope you get a blessing out of this this morning. I hope the Lord just opens it up and has his way, because you really think about the Lord and what he's done for us. It is a very personal thing. Very important thing. I think we lose sight of that so often, but I want you and I this morning to step inside the Lord's heart and his mind right before he went to the cross. That'll make all the difference in your life. Make all the difference. You grab a hold of that, it'll change how you live, how you act. It'll change how you walk and talk. It'll change everything if you get a hold of that first. The Lord knows how to do it. You think about what was on Jesus' mind the night before he went to the cross. We're going to see that this morning, Lord willing. Again, think about this. After the Passover, they'd had the Passover meal there in the upper room. You imagine, you see the 12, you see the disciples there, you see all that had gathered, and you see the Lord there with him, and the Lord singing with him. You ever think about Jesus singing? We hear about him teaching. We hear about him preaching. You hear about all those things he'd done, but do you ever think about him singing? The song he sang this morning, I want to preach to you for a few minutes on the topic of the last song. The last song. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. What a beautiful day it is, Lord. This day that we observe as Resurrection Sunday or Easter, Lord, as it's most commonly called, God. But I just want to thank you so much, Lord, for what you've done for me in my life. Lord, what you've placed in my heart. Lord, you know. You was there with me, Lord, when I've been studying and trying to pray and trying to bring this out, God. But I know that I can't. God, I'm trusting that you will. God, there are people here today that need to hear this message. There's people here today, Lord, that are lost. They need to be saved, God. They need to understand why you went to the cross, who you are and what you did, why you did it, Lord. God, there's Christians here today that need to be uplifted, Lord. They need to be exalted or lifted up, God. Not in and of themselves, Lord, but just need some courage, need some help, need some encouragement, God. And Lord, I just pray you give that here today. God, most importantly, I pray that we lift you up. We worship you, Lord, the way you deserve to be worshiped. Lord, you know my heart. I'm not trying to get anybody to do anything, Lord, out of your will, anything, God, that shouldn't be done. But God, we need to worship you the way you deserve to be worshiped. Lord, if we are the church, we are your believers, God. Who else is going to worship you? Your word even tells us, God, that if we had not, if those men, those people that were there at that time had not spoken out, Lord, that the rocks would cry out, God. Lord, I don't want to be outdone by a rock this morning, God. I just pray that you help us, Lord. Lead us and guide us. Be with those that are lost. Help us here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We see here in these first five verses, I'm going to try to break this down. It's 29 verses. You see a lot here in Psalm 118. It's in between the smallest psalm and the largest psalm in the Bible. Small psalm being two verses, largest being 176 verses. Aren't you glad we're not in that chapter here this morning? That takes some time. But 29 verses, you think about how that was used and how they would sing it. You also find the middle verse of the Bible within this psalm. And I thought that was interesting too, Psalm 118:8. We'll cover that here this morning also. But I want you to think this morning, go back with me, if we can go back and think about the night before Jesus went to the cross, what he was doing and what was on his mind and how things had come to this point. We see here Psalm 118:1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, let his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me, and he set me in a large place." You see the people that he is naming out here. He's saying Israel. That is his house. That is his people, the people that he had chosen out to be the mighty nation. We have studied so much about Israel, and he is saying here, let now Israel be thankful. Yeah. He calls them out first. That's his people. And he goes on to say here also, he goes on to the next group. He says Israel. And then he also says, let the house of Aaron. You remember Aaron and the Levites? The ones that were doing the Lord's work and taking care of the sacrifices and doing all the work. You see how he's calling these people out? He didn't leave anybody out. That his mercy endure forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say, let his mercy endure forever. Do you fear him this morning? Do you fear the Lord? So this is all inclusive. He's saying, let everyone. Number one, you see this first verse or these first verses here. This is a song of thanksgiving, what this song is about. Being thankful for what the Lord has done for you in your life. I don't know. I think sometimes, I don't know if we're entitled or what it is, Brother Bradley, but a lot of times I just don't think people are thankful anymore. We just deserve it. Why? Why do we deserve it? We just get that way. You say, why do you say that? Because when you hear songs about salvation, when you see these things come up, there's not a little woo that comes out anymore. When's the last time you heard a woo? I mean, seriously, let's think. I'm not trying to get you amped up, but are you thankful for your salvation this morning? Amen. Are you thankful for what he's done for you? He's going to show somewhere, somehow. Amen. Brother Bradley, you're going to think I'm trying to work him up, but I promise you I'm not. I promise you I'm not. I get excited about this. It's okay to be excited. Hey, it's March Madness. Well, we're in April now. We're on into April. It's all right to be excited about it. That's what he is saying here. This is the Lord talking here. This is the Lord singing this song. He's saying, look what I'm getting ready to do for you. He calls out his home people first. He acknowledges them, Israel, his chosen people, the Levites, those who did the work and what have you in the church, and them that fear the Lord. Those that are to come, those that fear the Lord, those that were not Jewish people, but those who have accepted him, those that fear him. Think about the Old Testament. Not having interdwelling of the Holy Spirit at that time, but they lived it out and tried to put their faith and confidence in God. He's talking to everybody here. He doesn't leave anybody out. You're not left out this morning, by the way. Do you fear him this morning? Are you thankful for all the things that he does for you? Think about the provision that he does for you. Look how many people's here this morning. You had a way to get here. I'm going to go ahead and say it. You look pretty good. You dress up pretty good. Got to dress up on Easter. This is an old tie, but it was the most pastel-y color I had. I said, this is my Easter tie, Brandy. Do you like it? She goes, yeah. I said, well, it's kind of pastel-y. That's my Easter. This right here is kind of the same. You've seen this a few Sundays. Let's put it that way. But how thankful are you this morning to be here? You got a car to get you here. You had a way to get here. His provision. You know, it is a blessing just to hear the word of God. Just to hear that, be under the voice of somebody who will preach the word of God, even if it's not the best. I'll say that. But somebody that will tell you the word of God straight out of the word of God. That's good. That's something to be thankful for. That's how you come to know Christ. That's how you come to be saved, is hearing the word of God. That's how you have to. That's how it has to be. And I like what he's saying here. And it keeps on and on and on. It just keeps getting better and better. But he says here, verse number 5, I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Brother Tim, I've heard this a few times. I thought this was kind of interesting. People pray for you before you preach, Brother Bradley. You probably heard this. You probably prayed this maybe. Lord, set him in a wide place. You ever heard somebody say that when they're praying for somebody to get ready to preach? I thought, man, why do people say that? Must be because I'm a big dude and I need room, right? Maybe that's what it is. Like, what do you mean a wide place? What does that mean? But you see here, and I kind of put a little thought on this right here. Set me in a large place. You know, a lot of times when I'm making decisions in my life, I almost feel like I'm sitting on a razor blade or standing on a razor blade. Kind of getting ready to fall off one way or the other and then trying to decide and not be indecisive, not be wavering. But sometimes you don't feel like you're in a wide place. You're going to make a decision one way or the other, and maybe it's going to not really work out one way or the other. But if you're in a wide place, you've got room. You can see what's around you. You're not in fear of falling off one way, Brother Dale, or the other. You got room. You got some space to make a decision.
You know, that's, I think to me, that really speaks to God's grace. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you've got a space. You got a space in the pew. You got a space here this morning to make this decision. Think about that. Let them now that fear the Lord say, His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me, and He set me in a wide place. You know, Jesus, after singing this, He is on the way to Gethsemane to pray. Think about that. Don't you think He wanted to be set in a wide place? You think about Calvary, a wide place where He went. I thought about it like that too. A wide place for the whole world to see Him and what He did. I would not want anybody here to leave this morning not knowing what Jesus Christ did for you personally. What He did for you on the cross. It's that important. It's that simple, but it's that important. Well, number one, we see the song of thanksgiving, how we should be thankful. The nation of Israel, we ourselves, those that are called of God, those that love the Lord, fear the Lord, should be thankful. Number two, look at verses 6 through 9. It said, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. We see here, this is also a song of trust. I think a lot of times that's where people kind of miss it. They don't have trust. We talked a lot about that last week, about trust. The reason, I think, number one reason, we don't trust people is because we've been hurt. We keep people far away, and we don't trust because of that. But again, I want to say to you this morning, Jesus is not going to hurt you. He will bring you in. You can trust Him. That's the point that He's trying to bring home. He's saying here, you think about the Lord Jesus Christ singing this song, the disciples not understanding and knowing what He was talking about and understanding. That's just the song they sang. But He had a new meaning to it. You look at what He says here. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Now, what do you think that means to a man that's getting ready to go to the cross? He said, the Lord is on my side. You think about that. You think about Jesus singing that, just trying to be obedient, being obedient to the Father. And He's saying, what can man do unto me? He laid His life down for man. Man didn't take it. He laid it down. They didn't have to force Him to the cross. He laid it down. He knew what He was going to do. You think about all these people that were around Him, those that hated Him enough to kill Him. In their mind, that's what they were doing. They were killing Him. In their mind, they were killing Him for being blasphemous, saying that He was the Son of God. That's what they were in their minds doing, killing a blasphemous prophet is what they were doing. Jesus was there, and He's laying it down. He said, He wasn't afraid. I want to tell you that. Can I tell you that this morning? That's the whole reason why He came here. Jesus wasn't going to the cross saying, should I do this or should I not? He knew what He was going to do. He was being obedient to the Father even unto death. He was going the distance for you and I. That's what He's saying. That's what He's teaching us here. That's what this song was saying. Thinking about the Passover and what the Passover meant, this is the song they would sing after they had the Passover meal and after they went out. This is what they were singing right before they went out. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Verse number 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Goes on a step further, and I'll say this. It is better to put the trust in the Lord than confidence in princes. List two people there, the man. You know, when the Lord deals with you, He deals with you in a way that man cannot. You know, the Lord might convict you through preaching, and He will, but it's not me and it's not the man. It's the Holy Spirit. So when you're looking at it that way, you're weighing things out, you got to be careful that you don't listen to the man and you don't follow the man, but you follow Jesus Himself. Like I said, man will hurt you. Man can deceive you. Jesus Christ will not. That uneasiness you feel when you're convicted, that is by design. When we are comfortable, we don't move. We don't, Brother Bradley. It's just like the boiling pot and the frogs. I've preached that here before. If I had a scalding hot bottle, a pot of water, and I took the frog, and this was a scientific experiment, by the way, that was done, so throw science in there. It was proven and done. When they had that hot water and they threw the frog into it, what did the frog do? Whoop, he jumped right out. He didn't want to stay in there. It's too hot. He didn't want to stay there. But when they took lukewarm water, put the frogs in it, and slowly warmed up the water, what happened? They cooked. They stayed in there. Kind of reminds me of Revelation, the lukewarm church. God don't like that. He spewed them out, right? So when you feel conviction, I want you to know something. That is wonderful. That's marvelous. That's the Lord saying you need to do something. Move, move, move. That's the Lord saying that. That's the Lord not letting you get in that lukewarm water and trying to be in a place that you think you're comfortable in. He'll make you uncomfortable. That's why it's called conviction. You see, I want to say this. Brother Bradley, I know you'll appreciate this. It's thinking about persuasion. Not trying to get anybody to do something they're not supposed to do. But in law enforcement, you were trying to persuade people to tell the truth. Preaching's a lot like that. Not that I'm necessarily trying to get you to tell the truth, that is part of it, but I'm trying to persuade you to the truth. That's what it's all about. Not trying to get you to do something you're not supposed to, but I want to persuade you to truth. And I don't know how else to do that than just to preach the Word of God. If I drag you up here, it ain't going to work. It won't work. I remember when I was younger, a person had my best interest at heart. I didn't understand I was lost. She came to me, she said, if you want to be saved, all you got to go up there, all you got to do is go up there and ask him. Logically, that made sense. But I didn't understand I was lost. You see, if you're here lost this morning, the Lord's dealing with your heart. He's saying, come unto me. That's not me trying to move you, that's the Lord trying to get you to come to him. That's beautiful. Amen. That's a beautiful thing. He made me so uncomfortable that I had to do something. Amen. He made himself so real to me. It's a song of trust. This is what he's saying here. It's a song of trust. It is better to put your trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Don't listen to all these other ways. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And if he's trying to move you unto that way, just follow him. That's all he's asking you to do. Your flesh will try to fight it. You'll try to fight it. Your logic will try to fight it. It's all by faith. But it's a song of trust. He's wanting you to move unto him. Now we also see here, it's a song of overcoming, verses 10 through 13. You know, I envision the nation of Israel when the Antichrist temple is built and all that's going on during the tribulation period. I kind of envision that. But let's go back to what Jesus is talking about here, the day of the cross. Think about this. And all nations can pass me about. But in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They can pass me about. Yea, they can pass me about. But in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They that can pass me about like bees are quenched as a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me, but I might fail, that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. You see, this is also a song of overcoming. You see how he was compassed about, how he was surrounded. I've been studying this week. A lot of times I go back through and read over it, and even watch documentaries about how the crucifixion took place. But you think about how you had Barabbas and you had Jesus. That always amazes me how much they hated Jesus just for being who he was. And they accepted Barabbas for who he was. They chose him. When they put him before, they say, which one would you have for me to turn loose? You want Barabbas or do you want Jesus? This man who done all these miracles. A week prior, by the way, that rode in on the donkey on Palm Sunday and had done all those miracles. Look how fast they turned against him. He was so favored and so loved. People followed him to see what he was going to do, what he was going to do next. But you see, Barabbas, during that time, he was robbing, stealing, and killing from people. And it come down to that weakness. They said, which one would you have? They said, we want this one. It's a lot like the world today, is it not? Look who's in the highlights today. Who does the world want today? You know, you see all the sports things going on. You see all the concert things going on. You see posts, what have you, slammed full of people. If people were really about the Word of God, this place would be slammed full. Every church would be, brother. But no, look where they're at. Look what they're watching. Look what they're doing. This is Jesus' last song. You know, he knew what he was singing about. Verses 14 through 16. It's a song of strength. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation in the tabernacles of righteousness. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. You see here his strength. It's a song of strength. Sometimes you feel like you're outnumbered, but he was not. He had the strength of God with him. Lord right there with him. You think about what Jesus was singing, what he was talking about, what that meant in his heart and what he was doing. That word valiantly, that means personal strength. You think about the personal strength Jesus Christ had, being all God and all man. You think about his strength. Now I like this here, verses 17 through 21. It's a song of victory. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but hath not given me over unto death. Open unto me the gates of righteousness. I will go unto them. I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord unto which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. It's a song of victory. He said, I shall not die. You say, Jesus died on the cross, but he didn't stay dead, did he? He didn't stay died, did he? He came out and he's on the other side of the stone. Boy, that's a blessing this morning, brother. You think about that, the stone. Mary was on the same side of the stone Jesus was when he came by. That's a good place to be. We're on the same side of the stone. Got to tell you this, if you're on the other side of the stone when Jesus comes back, it's not good. You got to be on the same side. Oh, man. Song of victory. Let's read this again. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. You think Jesus singing this, Jesus knowing this in his mind, the Lord hath chastened me sore. What does that mean? This is Jesus singing this song. What does that mean? Didn't the Bible say it pleased him to bruise him? Chastened him sore? It is one thing to be deserving of what you've done and take your punishment like an adult or what have you. That's one thing. But to take the punishment of somebody else that you are not responsible for, it pleased the Lord. You know, God would have rather and did do this, have this take place for his only begotten son, Jesus, than for you to go through it. You ever think about that? Parents, do you love anybody more than your children that you would put your children in that same position? Or would you just rather somebody else just go ahead and take their punishment? See, that's how big the love of God is. That's how rich the love of God is. He hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. He didn't leave him there. Amen. This is the Easter part of the message. He didn't leave him there. The stone was rolled away and he came out. It says, open to me the gates of righteousness and I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. John 10:9, it says, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. It's that simple. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is our salvation this morning. Amen. Open to me to the gates of righteousness, and I will go unto them, and I will praise the Lord. The gate of the Lord unto the which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. It's a song of salvation, a song of victory this morning. Now look at verses 22 and 23. This is kind of the sad part. There's all kinds of songs. This is a song of rejection also. It says, the stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner, headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. You see how, you remember when they came out and they were looking and talking about the temple, how marvelous that it was, what they saw. Thinking about the kingdom, their mind was on that and serving what placement they would have in the kingdom. And Jesus plainly said in them, not one stone that you see will be, they'll all be unturned. And then he said, I am going to become the chief cornerstone. You know what that means, builders? You builders probably know better than what I would. But I did a little study on that. And if you're building out, you've got to have that corner just right. It's the main stone of your foundation that you place in there. If you get a little off here, you're going to be way off on the other side. So when that temple came down, the temple of the law, when that temple, what they did there came down, Jesus said, I am become the chief cornerstone. I am the one. And again, I want to tell you this. I know there's people that were not here on Wednesday night, but I want to go ahead and say this here. That temple that's going to be built in Israel is not the temple that we're talking about. That's the Antichrist temple. The temple I'm talking about is Jesus Christ himself. Amen. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the one that you're supposed to put your confidence and your trust in. And that's what he's saying here. He was rejected when he explained to them and told them that it was going to be torn down. And in 3 days, he's going to build it up. They looked at him like he was, you're what? You're going to tear this down? You know how long it took to build this temple? And you're going to tell me you're going to tear it up and in 3 days build a new temple? He did. That's why the tomb's empty. Amen. He's the temple. Study it out. Go in and look in Revelation when the new Jerusalem comes down. Who is the temple? Jesus Christ. There's no light up there. He's the light. There's no sun. He is the light. Praise the Lord. How sad it is. A song again of rejection. Matthew 21:42 says, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures right here, the stone which was the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And it says marvelous. That's wonderful. But it also means strange. It's something hard to understand, isn't it? I understand it through eyes of faith. Amen. Knowing who Jesus is, what he did for me, he's the foundation of our faith. I want to go through these last verses here, 24 through 29. It's a song of salvation. Even though there was rejection, you see the different things in life of thanksgiving, of trust, a song of overcoming, a song of strength, a song of victory, a song of rejection. We see here it's a song of salvation. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. How many times have you heard that quoted on a Sunday? And that's something I always thought Brother Bradley meant that Sunday. Well, I was like, well, what about last Sunday? What about the Sunday after that? You know what it's specifically talking about? It's talking about the day of the cross. It's that day. You know, we make plans about things. We have birthdays or we have different events that we make plans for. And you got to see the motion of how it works out. And this time was coming. You think about when man was created in the garden. You think all that garden, the Garden of Eden, creation, everything, that was that day. You think about moving forward and then all the different things, the flood. You think about the Tower of Babel. Everything you read about, that happened on that day. But what God is talking about here, the Bible is talking about, is this day. The day of the cross. What it was all about. And see, that's to serve all dispensations. It's to serve all time. This day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. You think about Jesus the night before the cross, singing this song and what that meant to him. This is the day. This is the time. We're not looking up forward to it. We're just right here on it. And then nations or other people, dispensations, will look back on it. But tomorrow is the day. That's what was on Jesus' mind. And he says, now let us rejoice and be glad in it. Boy, that takes somebody special to say that, knowing what he is going to face. Nothing short of pure love. It's marvelous. It's strange. It's what it says here. It's wonderful and strange at the same time. How could he be so confident in this? This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And what does it say? Miss Jan, I thought about you again on this one. Verse 25. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. It's saying here, save now, Hosanna. Ties right back in with the previous Sunday. Palm Sunday, as they call it. Ties everything back in. Hosanna, Hosanna, save now. This is the only way to be saved. This is how you can accept Christ. He's saying, save now, I beseech thee. I beg you, O Lord, I beg you, send now prosperity. Send your goodness. Send what we need, Lord, is what he's saying here. Verse 26, and blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He hath blessed you out of the house of the Lord. I love how this reads here. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now that's talking about none other than Jesus Christ himself. Somebody else singing this. But now you think about Jesus singing this on the way to the cross. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. He was Jewish. I wish they would get that right on these documentaries, brother. I wish. Jesus didn't look like that. It's amazing. I think it would be more believable if they would just make it exactly how it's supposed to be. Get a Jewish person. Not somebody on a rock band. I told Brandy, I said, it'd be much more believable if they'd make it believable. And you know how you make it believable? Follow the Bible. Just do what the Bible says. Everybody wants everything to be exact. We'll do it exact. I'm going to say this here too. I don't know anybody that wants a remake of some of art history. I don't know anybody that wants a knockoff of that or a knockoff of a play or anything like that. I want the original. I want what's right. That's what's valuable. That's where the value's at. I'm thankful that I've got the writings from the Textus Receptus here, and it's not leaving anything out. Amen. It's all included. Amen. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord. Boy, Jewish people wouldn't like to hear that at that time. Talking about Jesus. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even into the horns of the altar. Boy. The horns of the altar. You know what he's talking about right there? Again, it's talking about the Passover. Singing that this is the song that was sang after Passover. Bind the sacrifice to the altar. Horns of the altar. That's what Jesus was talking about. Bind the sacrifice. You think about his sacrificial atonement. Think about why he did that. You know, are you satisfied in your sin? Are you okay with it? You just want to get by? I'm telling you, the closer I get to the finish line, brother, preaching on this a lot, I want to be more and more excited. I don't want it to be well done. I want it to be well done, my just and faithful servant, not like, how did you get here?
Yeah, right.
Amen. They're letting you in. The life you've lived, they're letting you. I don't want it to be like that. And I'm not pretending like I'm anybody. I'm just telling you, as we get excited about things and you hear the stir, you see how it is. This should be the number one thing we should be excited about. I promise you the tournament's not going to be mentioned in heaven. I promise you that. The apostles aren't going to say, man, did you see that? State actually pulled it off. I mean, they're not going to say that. It's all going to be centered around the Lamb. I tell you, it's the pep rally that I want to be involved with. That's what I want to be centered around. You'll see here in just a minute. God is the Lord which showed us the light. Bind the sacrifice and cords even into the horns of the altar. Thou art my God. I will praise thee. Thou art my God. I will exalt thee. That's what we need to be focused on in these last days. The excitement of getting ready to see him. The excitement of being around him. That's why we don't have the whoops in church anymore as much as we used to. We've lost that excitement.
Yes.
Now, I want you to think about this. I'm going to close with this. I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. It says here, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You think about his mercy, his goodness, how it endures. I want you to
I want you to go with me to Revelation chapter number 5. I go there quite often, but I just want to look at two verses. Revelation chapter number 5, verses 9 and 10. That was the last song recorded that I see that Jesus sang the night before the cross. If this will not set our hearts in a different place. Now I want you to know and understand something. This is only talking about saved people.
Yes.
Lost people will not be here. But I want to tell you this. If you're lost now, you accept Christ, you'll be there.
Amen.
You know, a lot about singing. There's been a lot about songs. People, I thought about it, like why do people write songs? It's a form of expression. A lot of times people write love songs to people and what have you, or songs that get people motivated and everything. You think about what Jesus sang about here. His life. The thanksgiving. A song of trust. A song of overcoming. A song of victory. A song of strength. A song of rejection. A song of salvation. You see, that's 7 points there. Number 8 also. 8 is the number new beginnings. And I thought, how good is this?
Amen.
Revelation chapter number 5, verses 9 through 10. Now, I want you to envision this. As you read it, I want you to envision this. And it says, and they sung a new song. These are those that have accepted Christ. Now, I want you to see and understand what just took place at this time in history. You talk about the day of the cross. Today is the day the Lord has made. Do you know He made that day too?
Yes.
That day is coming. We will be standing before God. We will be with God. It even talks about the church here. We will be in His presence. We will be the ones singing at this point. Just as real as we are here today, that is what's going to take place on that day. It says, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the 7 seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Getting ready, talking about coming back for that millennial reign. Now, can you imagine facing God, facing Jesus, facing the one who died and did everything for us, that new song, we'll get to see Him.
Amen.
We'll be standing in His presence.
Yes, sir.
Is that
Amen.
That excites me.
Amen.
You think that's why we're here. You want to know what's going to happen next? Very soon. I believe this is very soon. I want to be ready for it, don't you? Amen. If you will stand with me this morning, I'm going to close right here. I'm going to ask the ladies to come.